Hello, how are you doing? Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are doing The Running Man. Now, this is a Bachman joint, Stephen King's sci-fi alias. And I just will say, I've read the book last year, and I mentioned this on the podcast, but the book is excellent, but the movie is just fun. This is like a dad afternoon blast. It's Arnold, and if you haven't been watching FUBAR, you should. Anyway, just long story short, it's a lot of fun to have Arnold in an action movie, and I think it's a good way to start your June. Thanks for doing all you do, thanks for reviewing and sharing, and we will talk to you next week. Bye, guys. We're back in King Country this week as we talk about The Running Man, a movie set in a terrifying future year of 2017, where reality TV has taken over and we're paying actors to...
And there was an election.
Yeah, and there was an election.
Economic collapse following an election. Oh, wait.
And it was 2017. Oh, shit.
Oh.
And everyone just wanted stupid entertainment to distract them from the cold, brutal reality.
Matt was talking about Hunger Games. Idiocracy owes a thing or two to this movie.
That well. They do.
Anyway, I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, and 2020 Funniest Man Alive, or whatever that was. And on panel we have...
I'm Lauren, and I also will be back. I do it.
Hello, this is Daniel. I've done some writing in the past. You can find a lot of it on popdose.com. And... screw you, there are unarmed women and children down there. I won't shoot.
God, the idea that... Whatever, we'll get there.
The all-American hero, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And on that note, I am author Matthew W. Quinn, who also hates reality TV.
So here we are. We're talking about The Running Man, one that feels like it was in our basket like 6 years ago, right? Like, this is the kind of thing we should be talking about all the time. It's Richard Bachman story. The story is very different, which if you didn't know this, if you didn't look this up. So the end of this, he demands a plane. Like, it's not just in this one futuristic Quasar that he's in. No. He can run around the whole country. And the end of the book is him stealing an airplane and crashing it into the tower that the show is broadcast from. And after 9/11...
The billboard.
Yeah.
And
so they decided that they couldn't have a passenger plane crash into a building. So, so that chapter kind of fell out of fashion.
They're going to hate my new book, Serpent Sword. At one point features a dirigible crashing into a building.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the passengers.
Yeah, my writing group, whenever they think I got something that's about to explode, they'd write in the margin, oh, the humanity.
You had a dirigible crash, so I was referencing the Hindenburg.
I know that. During the critique group, they'd write in the margin if something would they think the airship would explode. If this happened, they'd write in, oh, the humanity.
Nice. So, The Running Man. I can do the plot synopsis on this one.
Give it to us, Nick.
So there's a cop played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's a good cop because he doesn't want to kill women and children. So it's a complete work of fiction. That was easy. Ben Richards. I'm the American Ben Richards.
I am American.
I would not want to blow up anyone in this town, this American town that I'm clearly from. I was on the high school football team. But he, in refusing to shoot the women and children, the cops are like, you're not really a cop. So they knock him out, and he is now a fugitive from the law.
They put him in a labor camp.
Right. Where he gets somehow...
After they call the Bakersfield Massacre.
He's working in one of the few non-gay steel mills that's ever existed.
Yeah, because, I was going to say, he gets sexier here with that beard, and he looks good.
Because they end up killing everyone anyway and then saying he did it.
Yeah.
So now, if he ever were to escape...
I'd rather have Captain Freedom.
So the mustache, is that what does it for you?
Oh, God, Captain Freedom.
I'm not sure, but I would... I don't know. Yeah, something about it. I would take Captain Freedom.
I love Arnold.
Well, I'd like that girl from Predator. That girl from Predator, so we can, I guess, divide this cast into spheres of influence.
Are you talking about Amber?
Yeah.
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 She was the Hispanic female cop in Predator 2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, as Nick was saying in the plot, De Arnold is sentenced to prison for supposedly massacring a bunch of people in a food riot. He manages to escape with the help of some other inmates.
Including Yaphet Kotto.
Yes.
The late, great Yaphet Kotto from Live and Let Die. We've done a few of his films. But
An Alien.
Which we did for the Patreon.
Way back in the day when that Patreon still existed.
Yeah, but I mean,
I feel like Carl and Lenny whenever you bring up the Patreon. Nick paid me $100 to kiss Matt. Hey, Matt, did we ever get that money?
And just look at each other. Yeah, no. It technically existed, and we released those episodes here and there now and again. But the woman Matt is talking about is Maria Conchita Alonso, played by playing the character Amber. And we're introduced to her doing like a what is it?
Crunches.
It's like a bowmaster. It's a bowmaster.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know about you guys, but I too work out in lingerie.
I mean, I tweeted
every day.
So do I.
Makes perfect sense.
I mean, she's podcasting in lingerie as well because she's a professional,
right?
I will say,
hence why Nick's pants are off.
I mean, everyone
right
knows that lingerie is the most comfortable thing to work out in.
My favorite. I mean, I literally took the screenshot of this and posted it on my Twitter, and I was like, "Ladies, what's stopping you from working out like this?" Oh God, help me! Because it's so funny. Because she's, and it's also very clearly an Arnold movie, which he's a star.
Yes.
But he's wearing a Gold's Gym shirt even in prison. And there's a Bowflex there. And I'm almost positive he was a spokesman for it at the time.
Oh, sure.
Like, this is like,
if I do your movie, you've got to include gym equipment.
And Jesse Ventura, who's a Muscle Beach buddy back in the day.
Well, it's just ironic because she sees Arnold's face on the news, right?
Yeah, me and Arnold did the gay porn back in the day, but it was only for the one movie, and I don't do that no more. Government, if they are saying I do, it's all deep fakes.
I showed up at the wrong pumping iron.
Yeah. Oh,
good Lord.
So the TV station is showing Arnold as the bad guy that he killed all these guys, like he's saying, in the food riot. And so you see his face on the TV, but that's the irony, is that Arnold comes in her apartment.
Yeah, so, right. she's screaming in that heavy accent, "The right. butcher of Bakersfield is in my house!" It is so, like, if someone is breaking into your house, they're going to yell, like, "The Unabomber is in my house!"
I mean, after that Ted Bundy documentary, the ladies are like, "Ooh, Ted Bundy's in my house." You got to have a less sexy Ted Bundy. And then, anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah. So the butcher of Bakersfield shows up. Matt has a problem with her accent. And she turns him in, effectively.
After he tries to kidnap her to get her, got on a plane to Hawaii.
And to Hawaii, at the airport.
The TSA saves the day, which is the first and last time that has ever happened.
With motorcycles and nets.
Well, the whole thing is that he was actually randomly picked to be the contestant. Well, not randomly, but they knew who he was. But he was selected to be a new runner on the most popular show in the future, The Running Man.
Okay, so the government pacifies people through violent TV shows, through violent reality shows. Yeah. And the most popular is being The Running Man. And that's a game show where the criminals fight for their lives, right? As runners.
Yeah.
And they're fleeing from these armed guards called stalkers.
And we're
teased. The gist is that they beat the stalkers, they earn a government pardon and a tropical vacation.
That's right. We're teased with that there have been like three dudes who have won the game and they're right. all like in Bali or something.
Right. Happy.
Happy, yeah. You know, holding up an umbrella drink, and then we smash the credits. We should also mention here that the game show host is Richard Dawson of the Family Feud from the 70s. Have you ever seen even a Family Guy bit where they're doing the feud and this guy's like first basing it with all the teenage daughters? That's Richard Dawson. That's where he comes from. And I believe him as a game show host.
Oh, he's great.
He's so good.
He's great.
But considering this is supposed to be the most popular show in the future, he really wasn't cutting the mustard.
Well, let's be clear here.
I don't know.
Daniel once again is wrong. But
I
would say the other thing is, this is the 80s. So, like, everyone's kind of there's a lot going on here. Like, the granny who mentions this, "I want that Ben Richards to win. He's got a nice butt," or whatever she says.
For me, this hit too close to home.
Oh, it's
like,
so
I could
close.
Totally see this reality show with this kind of host with Steve Harvey or like, you know, damn these days. It was a little too real.
I mean, okay, so...
Well, I'd be up for Survivor Guadalcanal, where everyone is being hunted by the Imperial
Japanese
Army.
Jeff Probst, Steve Harvey.
There's a show right now called The Slap, where grown men slap each other, because right here, there's a nerve that if you hit it just right, people lose consciousness.
Ah.
So there's just these beefcakes going up and hitting each other in the head by slapping...
Is it hosted by Will Smith?
Oh. No, it's like a wrestling guy, but, you know... Yeah.
I say Jesse Ventura should have been the host of the Running Man in universe.
Well, it's interesting because he's what, the color commentator? Like, he's just kind of around. Yeah.
I think he's a retired stalker, so he's, I guess, right. Charles Barkley on the sports show.
We got a lot of excitement down here in the locker room. Jesse Ventura
uses
is absolutely
it as a
shit.
Means to punish those that go against him.
Right.
Like Amber.
Yeah, and
right.
Which is what happens with her.
Right.
Yeah,
because it's like this is how the government, you know, this is in the grim darkness of 2017, the Eighth Amendment no longer exists. So instead of, you know, lethal injection, let's have someone be hunted down and murdered in reality TV.
So those exist. They're not usually done like to death, but they're called plea deals. And that's what's happening. Right. He's like, look, we could have you executed. You can go on trial. You're already a wanted murderer. Or you could be in my game show. We've done that for decades. And in fact, remember, the guy who killed George Custer, Sitting Bull, ended up joining the circus, quite literally, and avoiding jail time.
I am genuinely surprised at this point that Mr. Beast hasn't pitched this as a segment on his channel.
First of all, they have. Second of all, it's been... So, in the 1970s, there was a conspiracy theorist named Bill Cooper, who wrote the book Behold a Pale Horse, like a big like conspiracy guy. But he made a very famous speech, which is athletes, his favorite sport was baseball. It's like baseball players getting $2 million a year contracts. That's just the circus and, you know, it's the bread
and circuses.
Okay. Yeah. You know, a quarterback getting $5 million a year. Could you imagine? Meanwhile, now Braves, we have... $50 million a year contract.
Plus, but, that wasn't new. I mean, Babe Ruth back in the day was getting more. Somebody asked him, why are you making more money than the president? And
I work harder.
I had a better year than him.
That's right. But I mean, my point is, he said that in the late 70s. That's why all these 80s movies have violent sports being the thesis statement.
Well, Rollerball came out in like the early 70s.
It did. But that's. So for that's my
very,
generation,
this is very 80s.
Yeah, and so for my
Look at all that hair and those women with those wedgie pants.
Look at how they got the guy who did St. Elmo's Fire to do the end theme to this movie.
And isn't Nick Fleetwood like the leader of the resistance?
He is indeed.
And the scene where the girls dance on the stage.
Oh, the Paula Abdul choreographed.
Not have been more 80s, and they were choreographed. I had to look it up. They were choreographed. I was like, this seems very Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
It was.
And it was.
Yeah.
I love it.
And we're, you know, and again, like, I love the sad, sexy dancing that they do.
Is that why MC Scat Cat was just right behind them during the entire sequence?
Something, yeah.
With his pants down and his hand, and he was just... rubbing one out.
Is that the animated wolf creature from the Opposites Attract music video?
Yes.
Good guess there, Matt. You are correct.
Jokes. No, but it is very, like, I was worried that it was going to be typical, like, gory, awful 80s action at first, but they do switch it up, I feel. Like, it did change once the reality show hits. I felt like it wasn't just about that. It wasn't just about the Bakersfield massacre, right?
I almost wish it was more crazy because I agree with you. But like, you have like 30 minutes that feels like a prologue and then your movie starts.
Yeah.
I almost wish it was a little bit faster. Like, you could educate us about what he did just with that flashback that we've seen 30 times.
Right.
And then cutting to him, I didn't do it. What are you doing? Like,
yeah, because there's like 20 minutes of them escaping from a high-tech prison wearing bomb collars that will literally blow their heads off. And then they're in like underground Los Angeles, and he's trying to get into his brother's apartment, and that's when he meets Amber.
Well, here's my whole feeling on it. The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Everyone says that's a ripoff of Battle Royale, and that's a complete lie. It's a ripoff of this movie, 100%. Both the novel and the movie. And this movie does it so much better because people are actually reacting to the show. Like, they're placing bets on the runners, and not just, like, in studio. There are people watching it, and there's, like, a big betting board where people are clearly invested in it. And it's like, yes, this is how, if this is a bread and circus idea, it's supposed to work. And unlike in the Hunger Games, where it's just everyone standing in front of a giant TV screen looking like,
I do like the Ratso Rizzo guy just taking bets, because it's in what I watch in movies, it's like a game of gamble. He's just yelling stuff and taking people's money. Nothing makes sense, but he's like, rah, 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 rah. And it's the first one is Sub-Zero,
yeah,
right?
And it's, now just plain zero.
Dude, but I
that's when they had me, is when the host grabs that sweet old lady from the audience. Like,
I want like, Sub-Zero.
Who do you like? She's like, oh, I don't know. Sub-Zero. And like, he comes out. And
he's this gigantic hockey player dude with like a hockey stick with blades on it.
I love that.
Well, and for me, it was as though she was about to like tear open her jacket and have like a crocheted Sub-Zero sweater because she's so excited.
I just
felt
very like Price is Right. I don't know.
When they say the people's
and people are giving her and people are giving her like prizes.
Yeah, they're handing her prizes. Yeah, just felt very like Price is Right rather than like, okay, there's actually people dying.
And Richard Dawson's like, all right, what about you? Who do you want? And she goes, I want that Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero. Because the bigger ones. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because this whole
likes the so bigger cute. Ones.
This is like
that's what she says.
I know. She's she's into the beefcakes.
Yeah, because this whole thing,
dad bods.
This whole thing is professional wrestling.
Well, yeah, it is.
Right.
Hence why they've got a professional wrestler.
People
as
are actually
one of the main
dying.
Characters.
People are actually dying.
But yeah, but the theatrical, like Hunger Games, is everyone just murders people. This is professional wrestlers murdering people.
That's why this is better.
By a lot.
I mean, I the fun here is that, first of all, it's as though he's Batman and everyone's like got a gimmick, like because there's Electric Man. It's just,
who's an opera singer.
This is
who fucking sings opera? What the?
He is a real opera singer. The actor.
Well, you can tell listening to him, but
he's doing a great job.
You're an opera singer, but you're also assaulting this woman. Like, what's going on?
Wearing a diaper.
Wearing a diaper, light. Assaulting a woman. Like, what's going on?
Oh, opera singers.
Yeah.
Dude, but I mean, the rest of this movie is just them going through these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're captured. They're put in like these like tubes that spit them out into like this.
All right, that part was pretty cool, I feel. This, those effects were pretty cool. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That part was cool.
Walled off neighborhood in Los Angeles. I think that bit they actually used from the Stephen King, or sorry, Richard Bachman, is they start running, being chased by motorcycles, because in I think the book, you have to keep walking, and if you fall behind, they shoot you. And then they...
And people that follow with the cameras or whatever.
Yeah, and then they set loose Sub-Zero. Which reminds me of a previous episode of Batman Robin. You know, I still see you.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give Daniel some PTSD here.
He also says, I'll be back.
He does.
Multiple times. Obvious reference
to Terminator that was 3 years before.
Yeah. And it made him so.
Right. Yeah, so they capture two other members of the Resistance. They're using them as hostages to make him perform. Then Dickhead is like, you know, just shoves him in the arena and spandex anyway. So it's the three of them. And eventually Amber trying to find like the secret satellite link to broadcast.
Well, the whole thing initially, and I think this entire movie takes place over the course of one quote unquote episode of The Running Man.
Because it's three, you're supposed to survive 3 hours.
If we're talking about the actual future, people's attention spans are gone. How are they going to pay attention to a 3+ hour game show?
I guess
it's supposed to be like football, because those games last forever.
And people do get significant
like
trauma.
Like sports, yeah.
Yeah.
And can I just say the runners are in these bright orange and yellow red jumpsuits? Like, I feel like I would kind of change my clothes.
Well, you don't really have any clothes to wear.
Kind of a giveaway, right? Like, hey.
My understanding.
Tell the person in the yellow, like Arnold's.
Maybe they're not wearing anything. Maybe they're not wearing anything under them.
My understanding is, and I've not read the original book. I saw the Cinefix video on it where it's like, what's the difference between the book and the movie? It's a great series. Go check them out. But it was supposed to be basically the quote-unquote runners were given like 30 days to survive, and every day they'd have to essentially record a video diary and send it in, and that was what would get broadcast while these assassins, and everyone was just trying to blend into the city they were in, so there were no orange jumpsuits, would try and secretly kill them. And it's the entire video diary is like, oh God, I'm here and I think somebody's gonna kill me, I think I've got the assassin behind me. So that was the suspense,
right? And and on top of that, he was going nationally, so like he went to like New York, I think, and Chicago, and so then he's in major cities and there's people who can turn him in, right? Because it's essentially a manhunt. I will also say, right around here, I forget who's yelling, but he goes, I will tell the president. He goes, and Dawson has a line, the president, I know his agent.
Yeah.
And in 2017, that's a very, Trump had an agent.
The actual 2017.
Too damn close to home.
Yeah, Trump had an agent.
This is the
biggest. Well, we all know who the current agent of the president is, and that's that George Soros fella.
This is the biggest and the best reality show ever. These people actually die. It's tremendous, so, I tell you.
So Christopher Reeve was supposed to be
Bad Impersonations, the podcast.
Ben Richards. He was supposed to be Schwarzenegger's role.
Who was?
Christopher Reeve.
You know, the same thing almost happened in Total Recall.
Yeah. Christopher Reeve was supposed to be Captain Ben Richards, Schwarzenegger's role. But the only reason Christopher couldn't do it is because he was already signed on to do Superman 4.
Oh, bad choice.
Yeah, really right? Bad choice.
Like, that seems like a bad deal.
I'm going to get him to fight the nuclear man who's one of the stalkers.
See, that's good because we can make fun of this.
Arnold was apparently a fan of the book.
The book's a good book.
Right, it is a good book. So that's how he got involved. And who knew Arnold could read? I don't know.
He can read and he can be governor and he has adorable tiny donkeys.
And Chris Pratt is his son-in-law.
He is.
Still?
Still.
Yeah, okay. that seems like a bad choice by Christopher Reeve. I think they should have done this movie rather.
The fourth one with Nuclear Man is a canon picture. That's a particularly bad one.
There were a bunch of reasons he wanted to do Superman 4, which that's a completely separate episode. But yeah, no. There was this time when...
There was a time. Sorry.
I'm the one who's got to edit this. So there was a time when a bunch of, like I said, with Total Recall, they kept offering Christopher Reeve like these other big roles, and he, for whatever reason, kept turning them down.
I think they wanted him to do the Charlie Heston thing because, I mean, he wasn't old yet, but he had a legacy under his belt. Just shove him into shit. And it makes sense. It's just Arnold was the dude. I mean, now we make fun of Dwayne Johnson for a lot of very valid reasons, including the upcoming live-action Moana movie.
That just got announced as we record this. That's never going to happen.
I don't know, man. Although I
think it is.
I'm more likely to believe that they're doing a live-action version of an animated film than any of the Star Wars stuff that came out this week.
Oh.
Because I'd like any of it to be true, but how many times have they lied to us? Those Star Wars-y bastards. But anyway.
It's not a question whether or not the Star Wars stuff is going to get released. It's whether or not it's going to be any good.
Fair. But they've canceled series before. Remember when they gave a trilogy to the Russo brothers?
Oh, yeah.
And then they talked to the Stranger Things guys for a bit. That was also canceled.
I thought it was the Game of Thrones guys.
Those were also canceled?
That's the guy. Yeah.
So, I mean, anyway, in the end, it doesn't really matter. We went too far. We looked too long. And in the end, it doesn't really matter. That's a Linkin Park reference for you, those of you who are under 45. Yeah.
I didn't get it.
I burned that album. Like, I watched it a million times. Oh, dude.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Love you, Chester.
God, my point was, a million years ago, Arnold was willing to work. And so, absolutely. Hey, there's revisiting this movie. I'll do it. Why not? And because this is the time when he did a bunch of movies a year because
he did a great job. Yeah. Like, I mean, for what the movie is, I feel like he did. I also love the part where Arnold, they're making him sign the contract to be in the show. And
he staples it to.
Sticks the pin in the lawyer's back. Like,
he stabs Principal Flutie from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you remember him.
But the line is something like, if you do not have an agent, one will be provided to you. It's the Miranda rights. It's clever.
Every so often, this movie adds just a little moment like that to make it a lot more clever than it deserves to be.
Yeah.
I wish they'd gone full Paul Verhoeven and had full fake commercials, right? Because like
they have that one for climbing for money where it's like a pack of dogs.
But they should have done more of that because there's a lot of great little advertisements, and posters.
Because to me, it is. They're doing the RoboCop thing. They're doing the. I mean, it's before this, but Starship Troopers does it as well. Where let's cut to a commercial, which they do, like, because Richard Dawson has, like, and that sad moment was brought to you by.
Exactly. When Arnold kills Sub-Zero, and say the line again.
Now just plain Zero.
There you go.
And everyone is, like, so upset.
And the whole audience is quiet.
Oh, there's a scene later.
The whole audience is, like, silent. And somber.
They're crestfallen.
There's a scene later where people are calling into Richard Dawson. How can I donate to those stalkers' families to help them through their loss?
And he has a number, which you know is just the re-election campaign.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's great. Because this is also a world where the purge is happening. Like, it's everything, right? It has to be. It's great. This movie is so much fun.
So where does Dweezil Zappa again fit in all of this?
Oh, dude. He just he waltzes into this movie. And it's...
Him and Buzzsaw. Buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw is the best.
He had to split.
This is where your Hellraiser movie should be. Like, this is what I want. This is a lament configuration. Just
Arnold
a bunch of Mega
him.
Man.
Arnold chainsaws him, like, through the balls. Like,
balls first.
And he has a soprano moment there. He's like,
Come to the land of the ice and snow where the midnight sun.
Hot springs blow.
The joke is so incredible and stupid. Like, they're fighting over a chainsaw. They fight, and he cuts him balls first. And it's just... It's delightful.
It is delightful.
It allows him to scream longer. It's efficient filmmaking. and I'm sure Stephen King hates this adaptation because this is nothing like the book.
First he was already trying to separate himself from this idea anyway with the whole Richard Bachman thing.
But I also just see him as Alan Moore and he hates all the movies that he didn't.
Not necessarily. There's The Mist, for example.
He didn't write our screenplay.
Because he hates The Shining. He hates a lot of them.
The Mist, for example, he said that the ending of the movie was much better than the ending to his book. And I also think Carrie, he thinks, is better than his book, too. So
Carrie's a pretty damn good movie. It's De Palma, right?
Yeah, it's De Palma. And... I don't think he likes the more higher profile ones where people remember it more as its own separate movie than as a Stephen King adaptation. But in terms of previous episode, Pet Sematary and stuff like that, or like Christine or stuff, it's like, oh yeah, that was based on a Stephen King novel, where that's the first thing people think of. He's like, oh yeah, that's fine.
Silver Bullet, you know, because he used to do a thing where it's like a dollar to get the rights or something crazy like that.
Yeah, for some of his short stories, I think.
Which, you know, allowed kids to do it when they were in film school, so.
Yeah, Hollywood people, contact Matthew W. Quinn. I have a lot of short stories for you.
Dude, just go to, like, a local film school and say, I'll sell you the rights for a buck and see what happens.
Yeah, just walk around, hand your script
SCAD.
To people.
Why not?
Yeah. I'll be your actress. I got you.
I could be Ed Wood and make a lot of bad decisions. anyway... Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the first dude who dies first is like involved with the resistance, and I think he gave them some information that they need to. Like, there's this whole plot involving them trying to find a transmitter.
Yeah.
To send them to tell the people the truth about the Bakersfield massacre, maybe.
Well.
And the guy makes the code But right as he gets in, Dynamo zaps him.
Well, he has force power. Like, he's right, doing like the Emperor's lightning bolts. And
he throws lightning bolts as soon as the
guy
gets in.
While singing opera and driving a dune buggy.
Yes.
He has a lot of things. It's too many things, but it's a lot of things. Well
that's
like
what makes it. That's what makes this so great, is it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's making fun of the fact that we watch violence in this. Again, it's the Bill Cooper thing, right? So you're like, well, what could make it even more ridiculous? What if professional wrestling was the most important show on TV, but at the end people actually died, right? Like, so let's watch it.
So it's basically Celebrity Deathmatch.
It is, but it matters. Celebrity Deathmatch.
You also use this as executions for condemned criminals.
Which is not, but they're not real criminals.
Well, I think that at least the people, what the public believes they
the
are.
The public believes
they are. Which is why they're so upset when the stalkers die.
Right.
Right.
The public, they portray that they are. So then, of course, the audience is going to root for the like good a dude guy, for the quote-unquote hero.
Yeah, if a dude who's in, like a serial killer in the electric chair just grabs a guard's balls when they charge him and kills him too.
Well, but like that's why we as the audience have dramatic irony, which is why this is a dystopian film, right? Because we know better than that, right? It's why, you know, in Brave New World, we learned
hope so.
What's up?
I hope so.
Yeah, because Amber.
I'm sure some people watch this wrong. But yeah,
because Amber, she sees like the arrest footage of Arnold on TV and sees that
that is not true.
Yeah, that
she's
he'd killed
proxy.
That she'd killed that he'd killed a bunch of people, and she was there, and she knows that's not true. So she decides to investigate the Bakersfield massacre in the TV station, and gets detained by the rent-a-cops and put in the spandex and put in their games
that's
herself.
That's what gets her in to be a runner. Yeah.
By the by,
after they publicly announced that she cheated on her college tests and slept with many men.
Yes. Again, slut-shaming women automatically disqualifies them. It's actually incredibly accurate. It's scary how true that was. By the way, your rent-a-cop guy is a guy named Svennelly Thorsen, who was Secundus in... what movie did
Mad
we do?
Mad Max?
No. He's the mall cop in Mallrats. He's also
LaForce. Who's LaForce? Oh shit!
What's that Jesse Ventura movie we did with Jim Belushi?
Oh,
yeah.
Is that a Jesse Ventura movie or a Jim Belushi movie?
No, it's
point?
A. Anyway,
what
it's a Abraxas Guardian of the Galaxy. Svennelly Thorsen is
it? Yeah, we haven't. Okay. Is that a stay tuned? Because I don't think we've actually done that yet.
Oh, we didn't. I know we did it for Cineprop. I thought we recorded one. Anyway, he's another Arnold friend. They're another Muscle Beach dude. So there's that.
Yeah.
That was a long walk. You're welcome. That was a long walk to get there. Anyway.
You got there.
I did. And now it's just a montage of murders. And I know we already talked about Sub-Zero. He's an ice skating guy, and he has a bladed bladed hockey stick, which he used to cut people's head off. And Matt already mentioned this, but we've been reunited with the two other escapees, right? We're with Yaphet Kotto and Bill Nye the Science Guy. I don't know who this person is. He's the nerd. He hacks the satellite. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Apparently,
he hacks
been
the satellite before he gets zapped.
Apparently, he's been teaching the Constitution to street punks.
Ah.
Which is what makes him a criminal. The idea that people would learn the Constitution as a criminal. Right? Like, that, again, dystopia. This is a cartoonish 1980s.
Well, if you ask any anchor on One American News or whatever it's called, that's already happening. Talking about the Constitution, it means you're a criminal.
My favorite.
That's right, because that's what the government wants to do.
But, I mean, Jesse Ventura was the governor of a state, and he has a show where he interviews crazy people. So
it's kind of remarkable to me, now that I think about it, how much Jim Belushi and Jesse Ventura look alike these days.
I mean, they'd get along. Randy Quaid, too.
Mm. Randy Quaid doesn't get along with anybody these days.
Is he still hiding in Canada with his Bin Laden beard?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's wanted for tax reasons, I think, actually.
Well, at one point in time, we don't need to talk about Randy Quaid. He is unfortunately too far gone.
We've talked about him on this podcast
Did we do an Independence Day episode?
We did an Independence
Way
Day
back in the day.
Yeah.
We did an Independence Day 2 episode.
The Resurgence.
Resurrection.
Hey, IRS, I'm back.
Oh, he was long dead. He was a picture. He had a monument in that movie, the second one. That was a shit movie. Wow. That was years ago. We've been doing this for 9 years, pretty much.
Yeah.
As this
love
comes
it.
Out,
I remember
it'd be
when
nine.
We
I
all
love
went
it.
Into the theater to see that movie together.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So they get into the tower. That was their whole goal.
Right.
Yep.
They get in. And the host is begging. He's like, "People, this is how they're you know have peace, and appreciated with this violence." From it, please don't. And he's trying to like beg for his life. Marvel's not having it. He throws him in and he gets in the arena and gets through the billboard of his face,
right?
Of his actual face.
When
which,
we say throws,
which has
him
been
in.
Shown the whole movie. I was wondering, I was like, why do they keep showing this? And then it made sense because they seriously showed it about four times.
It's like a Great Gatsby that like
yeah,
doctor
it was
with a
very
glass.
Like,
when we say thrown into the arena, what we mean
right.
is you were put in that go-kart sphere American Gladiators vehicle and
yeah.
then just launched very, very fast. And so when he
like,
crashed
okay.
into that
all of, like,
billboard,
all of
he
that
dies.
Was lead up to this, to him being thrown through that.
Yeah, the climax of the film. After Sven will not fight for him because he's just verbally abused him too much.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Captain Freedom won't fight for him because he actually believes in the honor code. He's like, no, I'm not going to fight dressed like this.
That's right. And I mean,
life lesson. Don't write checks. You need big dudes to cash.
Yes. That's good advice. Sorry. What I was going to say is, We've seen now at this point Arnold kill several, but what's interesting is, like Rocky III, the crowd has started to turn in his favor.
They're all laying mm-hmm. bets on him now.
That's right.
Yeah. They like him.
Yeah, and at this point, Maria, Conchita Alonso, and him are the only two left because the other two die.
Well, and he shows the footage, the real footage.
Right.
He eventually shows the real footage from the actual what actually happened at the massacre.
Yeah, because
so people know that he didn't do what he was accused of.
Because I think that they find it a secret resistance base, and so Arnold has to like lead the resistance commandos into the TV station to keep them from taking control of the satellite feed again. So it turns into like a straight up war.
Here's these. This is one thing the movie gets wrong. I mean, the idea that you could just show the truth about what really happened to a bunch of people brainwashed on a certain television network, total fantasy. That would never happen
again
in real
this
life.
This movie feels so eerily like
parts of it
scary.
Certainly do.
It was
yeah.
scary.
Hey, I'd watch those people try and climb up that rope as they're trying to escape dogs.
Some people try to climb fences at the Capitol building.
At the Capitol building, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that to me feels the most intense, the thing that they got wrong, unless this went viral, no one would see it anymore. We yeah. watched too many different things. Like now, if this was a TikTok, now that would be dangerous because those
yeah.
end up on Facebook too. So that's both things for old people.
What's a TikTok?
Well,
TikTok
it might
is
not be around
their,
much longer.
TikTok is how people in their 40s watch teenage girls in their teens dance around showing their cleavage. I just sounded like the oldest person on the planet. I watch
you,
it
you,
to watch
you,
Canadians
you just sounded
make
like
liquor.
Somebody who shouldn't be allowed within 50 feet of a playground no more.
It's true.
You sounded like somebody who would go to the government office and be like, ah, oh, geez, there's always a line.
That's right. It's... TikTok. But
no, this was way too real, really, way too relevant to what yeah. has been going on the last couple of years. Like, I feel like our host of the TV show was just indicted. Like, I'm just saying, right? Like,
well, I paused it immediately because the first thing you see is by 2017, the world economy has collapsed. Food, natural resources, and oil are in short supply. Police state divided into paramilitary zones rules with an iron hand. And I'm just like, this is a documentary. Did we get stuff wrong?
Yeah.
Gas like, prices have doubled. It's so funny. And then it's all about a reality TV show. I was like, I am too old for this shit. hey, gummy bears.
Maybe like, that's why. Maybe that's why Richard Dawson doesn't feel as satisfying anymore. I'm sure it was funny to people in the 80s seeing him play this gigantic asshole prima donna because that's apparently, from what people have said, how he was in real life.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm. I believe he was a dick.
Oh,
are you too?
He nails it. He's
right. No, he nailed that role for sure.
Well, there's a reason after he quit Family Feud that he had this and then nothing else practically, but because everyone was sick of him. But
okay,
you have those feud bots. You're good.
I don't know. I mean, looking at it from the modern eyes, in order for this to work, you'd need a figure like a YouTube vlogger or something.
What if you someone had a guy younger who was on a reality TV show and then became the president?
Huh. I can't imagine that ever happening.
I mean, Mark Cuban would be a stretch.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
No, but it would...
Are you saying Vince McMahon's about to run for president?
How about God. That? How about
didn't
that really
his wife run for Senate?
How about that really old military dude from Survivor?
Oh, God, what's his name?
And he was friends with the gay guy named Richard.
No, that I don't know. Now you've lost me.
That was like
do you
season
watch Survivor?
No, but I'm aware of it.
Freaking love
that was from like season one.
Yeah, we riffed. Evan and I riffed for Cineprov for a Patreon episode.
So long as we're talking about modern day reality TV stars running for president, I think RuPaul's going to be announcing his campaign any day.
Nice.
Now.
I would vote for RuPaul. 1,000%.
So many things wouldn't be a problem under RuPaul.
Right.
Well, so many things would, though. I'm sure he's a fine...
Oh, dude, if he turned out to be a secret Nazi, if he was, like, super right-wing, he's like, oh, this has all been an act. Here's what's going down.
Oh, Lord.
Could you imagine? Or, you know, Oprah with Mehmet Oz as Surgeon General.
RuPaul would be better than some of the options, but anyway.
True.
Ron DeSantis getting the crap kicked
Mehmet
out of
Oz.
By Mickey Mouse.
I didn't
want to
say his name, but 1,000%.
Mehmet
yes.
Oz in higher office, though. I could never imagine that.
If Oprah was president?
Okay.
It was either him or Dr. Phil for Surgeon General.
Both of whom have subsequently lost their shows.
God help me. So they don't have anything to do. They're not busy. Anyway, so reality TV ends up with us watching people die. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the trailer of the new season of Survivor is like. Oh my God, she can't breathe. And I'm just like, well.
One of these characters will be killed off.
It spawns.
The most dramatic season ever.
You know, in that way, though, this movie's very creative in predicting what eventually.
Yeah.
It seems dated now, but I mean, it was reality. We were going through.
And they just placed it, of course, in the 80s, kind of, which is why it was professional wrestlers. Mm-hmm. But that's what, to me, is why I like this movie so much, because it is like...
Andre the Giant couldn't do it because of the Princess Bride or something?
He may be dead by this point. He didn't live very long. This is what, 90?
No, this is like 89. 87 or 88.
This is 89.
89?
Same year as our previous episode on Pet Sematary?
No, 87, I'm sorry. Oh. 1987.
All right, so let's see how long Andre the Giant was with us.
He died in 93. This was the same year as The Princess Bride. I will go out on a limb and say Princess Bride might be a better movie.
But
you think?
This is pretty fun, though.
Blink if Kelly is holding a gun to your head.
I made this of my own volition. But no, I do think it's... This is not a movie. This is like... fun. This is just ridiculousness,
yeah,
and I love it.
There was no need for a Twitter rant, you know, at Matthew W. Quinn, because I just liked watching this movie. There's no need to comment on it.
Oh no, we're commenting plenty. How do we end this? We should talk about the end of the movie, I guess, right?
Well, Arnold is now leading the rebels into the TV station, and they're fighting the rent-a-cops with everyone's machine gunning everybody. A bunch of the live studio audience gets killed on TV. Dynamo, who he had refused to kill because he was defeated already, tries to rape Amber, and she shoots a sprinkler system with a gun that electrocutes him, and he's pulled his pants off and he's wearing a diaper. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
You also find out that the corpses of the past runners.
Right. They were just in a locker room.
They were in a locker room. They were killed. Yeah. That it was all fake. They weren't actually on a.
Yeah, that was part of the thing.
They never won. Yeah.
That was part
all
of the,
a lie.
That was the thing they were broadcasting along with him being innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like the movie Serenity about 30 years early. You know, you can't stop the signal.
And I mean, the whole thing at this point is, how are we going to escape, do anything? Like, if we know that the people who actually won were killed, how do we get out of here? And the answer is destroy the TV station, kind of. Mm-hmm. Which, again, in the book, he does by 9/11ing the tower, which they didn't do. They opted out of doing, which is for the best. But, yeah, so we now have, you know, the Lost Boys with guns taking over the studio, like Matt said earlier. And they kind of wrap this up. I don't know. Yeah. The president with his agent. So Matt, final thoughts.
This was, in addition to how clever it is in terms of culture and political satire, it's just fun to watch. It's so ridiculous. It's great.
I'll go next. I put this in that nice, meaty middle category of Arnold movies where there's action, there's fun, it's enjoyable. Like Commando, I think, is better than this, but it's kind of like Commando, right? The premise is a high concept. But who gives a shit? It's just him with a chainsaw guy that he's cutting in half, right? The first Terminator is kind of like this. Not the second one or third one, but like the first one is. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of good work. That's for another day. Like, this is not a day where you watch True Lies. This is a day where you're watching The Running Man. And I'm fine with that. I enjoy this very much. Lauren?
So this is my first time ever seeing this. And the first like 20 minutes, I was like, oh God, what did these boys made me watch this time? Like, I thought it was pretty typical, like 80s action, boring. But then it totally turns around, I feel. Yeah. Like, as soon as you get all of that and the host and the show and Sub-Zero, like all that jazz, it totally turned around for me. So I enjoyed this way more than I thought I would. I really liked it. It's a solid B-. Definitely, I think, that perfect middle ground for Arnold and all his movies. In the 80s. I really enjoyed it.
Daniel?
It really is just a typical Arnold action movie, but there are a few moments where they just insert something that they didn't have to just to be that much more clever and that much smarter than what he was typically doing, which is shocking because did we mention who directed this?
Oh, no, we didn't. Go ahead.
It is
Michael Glasser.
TV Starsky of Starsky and Hutch fame, and who later utterly ruined his career by directing Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal.
There you go.
And
it was Shazam
with Sinbad in it or whatever that was. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, like, the stalkers have definite personalities, and then there'd be like these random posters up that have. There's a lot of great world building in this movie, which is very much appreciated. And I mean, I know Suzanne Collins certainly saw that and grabbed the ball and ran with it. Seriously, the Hunger Games ripped off so much from this movie. But of all the Schwarzenegger stuff, I mean, it's not his best movie, but it's definitely far from its worst. So yeah, if you're a fan of that sort of thing, definitely check it out. You'll enjoy it.
It reminded me, if you went either way, if you made it more actiony and stupid or made it more high concept, different movies, they aren't as much of a crowd pleaser, but it could be fun. This is the perfect medium, right? Where, like, just as it starts to get high concept, there's an opera singer with an electric wand. Like, it's so stupid. And you're just like, oh, right, it's an Arnold movie where it's like Mortal Kombat came to life. Like, it's right. Incredible. So that does it for us talking about The Running Man. I am shocked.
Did you say?
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, you went first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I am shocked they haven't remade this, actually.
Have heard some talk of it. I also haven't heard some talk about anything else being remade because that's all they're doing these days.
I mean, and you could do
anything successful in the 80s or 90s. Like, Let's remake it.
Because millennials have money now.
Well, we are content creators, clearly. So, you know, if they wanted another 500 mediocre podcasts about The Running Man, they should re-release that. I would say they should do the original book, though, and do it like a miniseries where they're chasing him for days. Because, like, don't touch this. This is perfect as it is. Like, all you're going to do is ruin it. You'd put Channing Tatum in the lead role. The chemistry would be all off. No one watches wrestling anymore, so it'd be some old guy and John Cena. Right? It would just be John Cena and Dwayne Johnson. And Johnson said he's not going to be a bad guy anymore. So you have no one who can act. Anyway. So we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing what you do to make us big. We are here because you listen. We're here because you write in. You're here because you download. So keep doing those things and tell us what you want to do, because we're getting to our 10th season and we're about to have our big meeting where, you know, us three white guys choose movies. So we want to hear from you so we get a little bit more diversity in the crowd. Anyway, bye everyone.
Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomtech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.